Someone talk about the Emunah. The Gemara tells of one of the Tanaim who would arrange his teachings before the lady. And he would teach before him Agadita. Amar le malgitvi bochi nafshis Hashem v'chol kravai Hashem kodsho. And he said to him, what does it mean in the Pasuk when it says, bochi nafshis Hashem, my soul will bless Hashem, and v'chol kravai and all of my insides will bless Hashem's name? Amar le boru'e. Hashem works in a different way to the way that people work. Midas basav adam tzar tzural gabe kotel ve'enu yochol lahatzil baruch on neshama kirvayim ubenem yayin. The person wants to draw a picture. He can draw a picture on a wall, but it's two-dimensional. It won't have any soul. It won't have any spirit. It won't have any physical insides. Hakadosh Baruch Hu enu ken tzar tzural matzil baruch on neshama. Hakadosh Baruch Hu creates a creation, draws a picture. But Hashem also puts in it a spirit. He puts it in a soul. V'hainu da'amra Chana, and that's what Chana said in her prayer, Ein kadosh ka'Hashem, ki ein biltecha, v'ein tzur ke'lokeinu. Chana said, there's no rock like our king. And Chazal made a drasha, Ein tzayar ke'lokeinu. There's no artist like our king. Because a regular artist is not able to infuse spirit into the picture that he pictures, and that he paints. He's only able to draw it as an external representation, but not the very matter itself. So you see here explicit in Chazal, the Chazal, when they wanted to determine how Hashem made the world, they determined it Hashem as a tzayar, someone who's a creator who makes tziyur, who makes pictures. Habore is Barach Shema, he's the one who made this whole picture. The Ein tzayar ki alokeinu, ki hatziyurim shelo hinam chayim. What's the difference between a regular artist and a Kodesh Baruch Hu? A regular artist's pictures are representational, but they're not inherent. If you happen to get a message from a good, you know, you can make up lots of messages with everything you see in the world. You can make up lots of different ideas and everyone can take it in every direction according to their own filter. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He made the world, it's a picture that has a soul. Meaning, it's inherent the message that was being taught there. The whole imagery of the world was something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu put life into because it's designed in order to give us life. Someone who has emunah and he thinks in a deep manner, Kishu potech et hachalon u'mistakel b'shamayim, בלי שום מליצות, השמיים מספרים לו כבוד כל. מעשה אדם מגיד לו הרקיעה. When a person is in a Emunah perspective, not in a fluffy way, but in an honest, straightforward way, when he sees a sunset, he recognizes this is the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that he's saying that, he says, okay boys, it's a beautiful sunset, everyone say it together now, Ma Rabu Ma'asecha Hashem, you ready? 3, 2, 1... Marabu Maaseh. No, that's not. We're not talking about some external. This is the pasuk you're supposed to say at this right time. There's just a sensation, an inner recognition. This is the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, "Belishum melitzot." I'm not saying that like this is something that we're supposed to be saying because we're Jewish. I think this is the sensation that a person has. A person with emunah is someone who walks around the world and recognizes the beauty, attributing it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not, I should be attributing it. This is what the right thing that a good Jew should do. It's not like I feel righteous by doing this. It's just this naturally a person recognizes this comes from Hashem. In the same way as if you would know that there's someone who you love very deeply and you get a letter from them and you're reading the letter and you understand there's a whole world of emotion that comes behind that letter because you know them and you know they love you and you know when they say those words it means a certain thing. But so too, when you deeply are aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how He works and you see all the tziurim, you see all these imageries that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you, and you deeply know that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending me a message of love, or a message of growth, or a message of emunah, or whatever the message is specifically, that I can see through this element of nature that Hashem was sending me. Without melitzot, in an honest, straightforward manner, that's what a person is able to sense. Ubahalachato b'chut, hu shomea atzeya miranim lifnei Hashem. Haruach menashevet, eino ela oseh devarot. And so too, on the sounds that he hears, as he hears the winds blowing through the trees, and not in any joking way, not in any external way, but he recognizes this is the word, this is the sound of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's able to attribute everything back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's able to recognize it in a deep manner. And this is the kind of thing which you can't go up to someone and tell them. You can't go up to someone and say, you hear that sound? That's God. Like, it's external, because if you're there, you're there. When someone asks, how do you know if you love? So they don't love you. Because they're still asking, how do you know? Then it's not obvious to them. And when you get to a place where you know just because you know, then you know. You know because, yeah, you know something? There are certain things which, as long as you're trying to explain them, it's a sign that you're outside of it. And when you've got it, you've got it. I once heard Rav Tat say a mashal for this, in a brilliant way. He was saying that How do you teach a child to ride a bicycle? Right, so if you start explaining to him in all the words in the world, right, all the science in the world about balance, it's not going to make any difference. And if you try using words about how you have to like get on quickly and start pedaling, because if you don't pedal quick enough, then your weight will lean to one side and the whole bicycle will fall over. So listen very carefully, child. When you get on, you must sit there, get your feet on the ground, and then quickly put your feet on and pedal very fast. And can you do that? And the child says, yes. And then he gets on and he falls off. But he says, but I told you. He says, okay, I don't know what you mean. So then what you do is, okay, don't talk. Just hold the back of the bicycle and let the child like practice. The child's practicing. You're saying, no, don't lean to the side, As much as you're talking, it's not having any help in the world. The more you're talking, the more it's confusing the child and making him feel a defect that he's not able to get it. Suddenly, he gets it. Don't know how, don't know where, he gets it. And you know, the parents worn out, running after him, just like, let's go, let the child fall. And then the child just carries on. Look at that, there he is by himself. Until the child gets around and sees you, falls down. What happened? I thought you were still holding me, but you can do it now. I can. Let me try it again. And he does it independently. The child thinks it's right. And then the child says, that's really easy. Why didn't you just tell me to do? I was trying to tell you. But there are certain things that until you know, you don't know. And no words in the world can help you get. Emunah is like that. Emunah is something which when you have it and you know. No matter how many words in the world you use to try and explain the Emunah to someone who hasn't yet opened their heart up to accept Hashem in their hearts, it's all going to be like towards an apikoros. Like, but maybe this, but maybe that, but maybe, it gets complicated. It gets complex in a way which is not authentic. And the truest things in life are the things that are so simple that when you know them, you don't need any proofs for them. Now, obviously, in the case of the child, he had to go through a process to get to that stage. He had to practice. He didn't just say, I know how to write a bicycle. He didn't. He had to practice until he got it. But the moment that he got it, I once learned Bruce Miller. And the person I learned from, he's a mohel in Israel. He's the mohel who gives smicha to mohelim in Israel. I was very fortunate out there. He didn't take any money at all. He said, come with me as much as you want. You can accompany me. It was unbelievable. So it was real sensational. So I accompanied him. And it was really hard to learn from him because he couldn't explain at all what he was doing. He did a perfect bris every time and had no way of explaining what he was doing. He says, chotchim. He just can't. But no, like, how do you hold it? He just hold it. And is it, they're like, this angle. That's funny on there. I'm like, what angles? What angles are you talking about? You just hold it. And then you cut. So yeah, it wasn't so helpful. Fortunately, there was someone else who was with him as well, who had been following him for many years. And he used to accompany him to all the brises. And this guy was able to analyze perfectly what the Mahal Fleischman, Rabbi Fleischman, was doing. And he said to me, like, watch him, he's doing this and this. He explained the whole thing to me. And then when I watched him, I saw, oh, that's what he's doing. But the guy himself couldn't explain it. Because to him, to Mohel Fleischman, it just was. It was a skill that he developed to such a degree that to him to try and break it down and explain it now would be minimizing it. It would be inappropriate. It is. I don't want to start trying to break it down. I'll start thinking, do I do it like this, do I do it like this? I'll get confused. I know. And if I try and explain why I know, then I'll get confused. But I know that I know. I do it very well. I don't want to go back to a stage where it's complicated. I needed to have that stage initially to get to the stage of just being able to know. So it was important that I went through that. But now that I know, I don't want to go back and try and figure out how I did it. And I get, is that, I don't know how to do it. I start questioning myself again. I don't want to be in that place. I just know. Someone who goes out to the world and has got to the place where they have a munah and a baruch, they naturally see the world as expressed of Hashem. They naturally see everything as an emanation of Hashem. They naturally see everything as, they orientate it all back to Hashem. Not in any way, I'm supposed to be doing this. It's natural. And it's hard for them to say it to other people as well. They feel it, but for them to start saying it, it gets kind of technical then. It gets like external. You should be saying this possible now. It doesn't work. It becomes external. Yiridat gishmei bracha hu model Hashem al kol tipa v'tipa Hashem orid lanu. And why? When the rain falls. So Chazal saying that there's a bracha that you should make when the rain hasn't fallen for the season and the rain starts falling, you should make a bracha on every single drop. Why did Chazal say to make a bracha on every drop? Because someone who has emunah, he recognizes that every single drop is an independent blessing from Hashem. He's able to see that. He's able to sense it. He's able to say, this is from Hashem, and this is from Hashem, and this is from Hashem. There's an amazing story I once heard, not Jewish story, I think I told it here before. But there was a guy walking along the beach, and there was starfish that had washed up on the shore. So he was throwing them back in the sea. Otherwise they were going to die. And someone else was walking along and said to him, what are you doing? So he said, I'm saving the starfish and throwing them back into the sea. He said, but there are thousands here. You can't save one of them. You can't make any difference. So he picked one up. He says, look at this. Threw it in, said, made a difference to that one. So if you're kind of just very broad, and like God exists, and he's lofty, and he's vast, and he's broad, you're not able to recognize that this world for like really making a difference in your life on the fine detail. When it's clear to you that this world is part of your inner life, then you notice that this world makes a difference here. There's a difference here, because Baruch's hand is here. And every single detail you recognize that goes Baruch's hand. Because he's integrated in part of who you are. The Kol Tipa V'Tipa V'Mitbonen, the Kol Kochot V'Talichan Ruf, Tan Dvei Rabbi Yishmael. Il Malei Lo Zachu Yisrael El Lagbil B'nei Hagim Shishmai Pamachat V'Chodesh Dayan. We said that in Kiddush Levana. It would be enough for us just to receive the Kodesh Baruch once a month. Ein Sarich El Litbonen B'Chidush Al Havana Kedei Lirot Et HaYotzer V'HaMechadesh Yitbarach. It's quite amazing. We do Kiddush Levana once a month. We go outside. You're supposed to not face the moon when you daven, but you're supposed to face Mizrach. You look at the moon, you notice the moon, and you face Mizrach and daven. We're not davening to the moon. We're getting inspiration, if you like, from the moon, and then we're using that to daven to Hashem. We daven facing the Mizrach when we daven. But what does Chazal call it? Ilmele lo zachu Yisrael ela lahak. Bil Pnei Avim Shebashamayim. We're receiving the face of Hashem. We're doing Kiddush Levana. We're looking at the Kodesh Baruch Hu recreating the creation, something in nature which we can see has a cycle. We see Kodesh Baruch Hu renewing that cycle. We see the renewal of Hashem in the world, Hashem's nature in the world, and that's called Kabbalat Pnei Shechina, that we're accepting Hashem in this world. The Shechina always refers to Hashem's expression expressed in this world, where it's Shochem, Mishkan, where it dwells. So here we are, standing there looking at the moon and recognizing there's a cycle going on here where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is renewing the world. That's called accepting Hashem. Nireh barur ki kabbalat pnei Hashechina yistakrut b'levana ha-mechudesh atzma. What does it mean you're accepting the face of Hashem? It means when you look at the moon, literally, and you see the moon renewing, and you see Hashem renewing kochos in the world, you see this is Hashem. He's renewing my energy every day, every moment. And I see it through the new. In theory, you see that every morning as well. You wake up in the morning and you have new strength. You say Elo Kain and Shema, you're having the same concept there. You're saying it every day. But with the moon, it's much more powerful. Like you see a whole cycle going and it comes around again. As we said once, the more distance it is, the more powerful it is. It's only once every 28 years, it's most powerful. Once every month, then it's powerful. But another day, it loses its effect, unfortunately. We become too accustomed to it. Hama'amin ha'ma'amik kol sudahu tziyot. So some people, they only get really excited and go out to the fields and buy a special book and have a special meal once every 28 years. When it's a Birkot HaCham, that's a big deal. What's the difference between Birkot HaCham and Birkot HaLavana? There's no difference. There's no difference. There's one is every 28 years and one's every month. So the Birkot HaCham, whoa, once every 28 years. So it's good to know how old I am. I was born on the year of Birkot HaCham. So I'm 28 and then when I'm, you work it out, exactly how my age. So the next Birkot HaCham I have, my birthday, my 28th birthday. Around the thing. How many Birkot HaCham do I have Zohar to see? I was born in Shua, so I just missed the first one. Then 28 years was the first time I got to see the first Birkot HaCham and appreciate it. Someone who has Emunah, he doesn't just wait for 28 years. He doesn't even wait for 1 month. He's constantly noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life at every meal that he has. Kulo, b'tuvo, b'chein, b'chesed, v'rachamim. And every neshima, every time he breathes, he says, Asher b'yador nefesh kocha. Every time he wakes up, he senses it. Could you imagine what a national awakening there will be? Think about it. The Six-Day War caused a massive Baal Teshuva movement. As the people of the world, Jewish people of the world, saw that Kodesh Baruch was still with the Jews and returning the Jews and having Jews to be successful, the Baal Teshuva movement started then, after the recognition of Kodesh Baruch returning. Could you imagine what it's going to be like in this Tchias HaMeisim? Could you imagine what the Baal Teshuva movement will be like at that point? It'll be Tchias HaMeisim, it'll be absolutely clear that Kodesh Baruch exists. It will be indescribable. The Baal Teshuva movement. For someone who has Emunah, every time he wakes up in the morning is a mini Tchias HaMeisim. He recognizes that as Hashem is with me. Hashem chose to give me another day. Not in a cliche way. It's natural to him. That's his world. That's his vision. That's his filter. That's how he looks. He wakes up and he recognizes it. It could be that he has to contemplate it for a moment. Something he wakes up, yay! As he wakes up, right? Everyone's normal here. But he contemplates for a moment and he thinks, Hashem chose that I should have another day in this world. What am I going to do today? Just like on one's birthday. The message you always have to take on your birthday is, Hashem said, this world could not exist without me in this world. Hashem chose me, and He wants me to be here. This is a day where Hashem says, I'm special and I have a mission in this world. Someone who has emunah said that every morning. Today is my birthday. I was born today. Tchiyas HaMeisim happened today. Hashem decided that there's a role for me in this world, this moment. That's why I'm still here. What am I going to do with it now? What am I going to do with that responsibility now? Every moment is like that. The whole world is that recognition of Hashem. Od lanu b'dvarim ba'avodat ha'emunah. We want to say one more point about emunah. What we're going to say now isn't as easy and isn't as flowing as everything else we've said until now. But we're obligated to say it, and you have to listen very carefully because this is the sod. This is the foundational point. Perhaps possibly one of the deepest points that we have to make on the topic of emunah. It says in Parshas Beshalach, V'yar Yisrael et yad ha'gedolah asher asah Hashem b'mitzrayim v'yiru ha'am et Hashem v'yaminu v'Hashem v'moshe avdo. I never asked the question, why does the Torah first say there was Yira and then there was Emunah? Because according to the way we would understand things, first of all, a person believes in something. And once you believe in something, then it's a real thing. And then you have awe of it. You can't have awe of something if you don't believe in it. Right? If I would tell you some false figure, would you have awe of that false figure? The Gruffalo. Who has awe of the Gruffalo? You don't believe there's a real thing called the Gruffalo. No one has awe of it. Hey, a cute book for kids to read. No one has awe. You don't have a sense of wow, Hadras Kovod for the Gruffalo. Because Emunah has to come first. So the Admor of Ozro, in his amazing book, Eish Das, he asks that question and he brings the Zohar to answer. Kol bar nash, the dachilei lekut shebrichu, sharia yimei, mehimnuta, kedaka ye'ut. Dahu bar nash, shalim bulchana demare. Uman de lo sharia be, dachla demare, lo sharia yimei, mehimnuta. V'lav ihu kedai, lemehevel eichuka ba'al madaate. That was scary. Any individual, kol bar nash, the dachle leila kutz brichu, who has an awe of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, first you have to have awe, sharia ime dwells on him, mehuna tada kedeka ya'ut, an emuna of as it's fitting. It sounds like there's a not fitting emuna, which is like an easier one, a lighter one that you could have first, that you basically believe in something, but not that you have a relationship with it, not that you deepen the connection with it. And then you have a level of yira, where you have awe of the matter. And then when you have yira, then you develop an emunah in that thing, but it's a different type of emunah now. It's not an emunah of, I believe in something. Like when I spoke about the Gruffalo, and it goes like, you believe it or don't believe it? I believe it. Okay, good. If not, you haven't developed an emunah that everything in your life is empowered by this. So someone who has awe, then the emunah will dwell on him in a way that's fitting. Because he's fully serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if someone doesn't have the full awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then even if he has emunah, that's not real emunah. That's basic emunah. False emunah. Or undeveloped emunah, you might say. Specifically, a person who has awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll have full emunah. He'll be full in his service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Rambam says in Mitzvah Aleph, when he speaks about emunah. Tzivui asher tzivanu b'ha'amanat elokut. We're first commanded to believe in Hashem. V'hu sh'na'amin sh'yei sham ilah v'siba. To believe there is a first cause. Hu po'el v'kol ha'nimtza'im, who causes everything to be. V'hu amro anokhi Hashem k'yachan. That's the first of the Ten Commandments. Belief in God. That's point number one. Then point number two. He'emanat ha'yichud. Believing in the oneness of Hashem. That everything that you see in this world all emanates around one concept. It's all one core idea. Let's look at this in Bayat Ham for Shanabit. One core idea. All one unique concept. And that's imbued in the Pasuk. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The mitzvah number three is Emunah of Yirat Hashem. Emunah of Yirat Hashem. Lehamin Yirato. Ve'lo nieh v'kofrim ha'uchim mishrut libam u'v'keri. Aval nirah b'yirot onsho b'kol eit. So there are three levels of emunah here. There's emunah number one, basic emunah. Emunah number two, everything in the world emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all yichud. And when number three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in the world, and I have a sense of awe that He is involved in the beauty in my life. The Rambam doesn't call Yirat Shamayim Yirah. He calls it Emun. That's the language of the Rambam. Yirah is an aspect of Emunah. Lahamin Yirato. Nimtza ki Yirah Chelik Me'amunah. Now we explained in the last passage that you have a power to make tzirim, to make imagery. Hatzirim ha'ma'orim pachad mehadrat kavod gaon ulzot yiran ha'mishpat va'on ha'shemi gam heim be'emunah yusadam. Our way of developing emunah is through developing imageries of bringing us the recognition of fear of Hashem. Fear of Hashem is something that comes through emunah. As you develop your emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as you recognize the world as a world which is speaking Hashem's message, then the Yirat Hashem comes through. Haemet ha'elokit, ha'emunah v'metziyoto, hi levada sugula lasad roshem amok v'libeinu, ad shi yichola leshnot et kol helev machshoteinu. U'be'emet, kotev ha'ramban, ki mitzvah zo kavrat ol machotran. It's a very challenging point, this. How do you have a commandment to believe in Hashem? Who's going to follow this commandment exactly? The people who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu already believe. You don't need to command them. You need to command them to put on tefillin. Because they believe, but they don't know how to express that belief. So you command them to put on tefillin. Okay, I believe. So you're commanding to put on tefillin. I'll put on tefillin. That makes sense. So you can command someone to do another action. You can't command someone who's not religious to believe because he says, but I don't believe. Oh, there's a mitzvah to believe? Okay, fine. He doesn't believe. It's not going to help me. So what does it mean that the first mitzvah is to believe in Hashem? What does that even mean? But you see, there's two levels of emunah. There's a level of emunah which is, I'm basically committed. I basically believe this is true. But that's so basic that you haven't started developing any relationship with it yet. So you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of emunah. You've committed. That's very good. That's stage one. Like you're willing to listen to what has to be said. But what are you now doing to develop your emunah? Emunah is not you have or you don't have. Emunah is infinite amounts of levels. And the way that you develop your emunah is by noticing and recognizing everything as the word of Hashem. When you learn Torah, you appreciate that it's God's word to you. When you look at nature, you recognize it's God's message to you. The deeper you develop your emunah, the more recognition you have of Hashem in the world, and the more you then devote yourself to Hashem, and you have more awe of Hashem. Those are the three stages that I'm just saying. But it's a commandment. You have to be developing the emunah. It's not yes or no. It's not I'm a religious Jew, I believe. It's to what degree are you constantly developing your emunah? So Ramban says the mitzvah is a mitzvah of kavrat ol machot shamayim. It's not a yes or a no kavrat ol machot shamayim. So you constantly have to be developing through your imagery that you're developing. Recognizing the word that's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or recognizing your connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're pausing here. Even though we're still in the topic of emunah, we have another probably two sessions to do. We're going to leave them for now for next month. If we have a session tomorrow, if there's another shir, then obviously I won't give. But if there's no other shir tomorrow, then tomorrow B'nai Nedar will do a topic on the Haggadah Shal Pesach. He has a wonderful, beautiful piece on the Haggadah Shal Pesach. It's from Chelik Beis. So if there's a shir tomorrow, then if there's no other shir tomorrow, then I will give. But I won't give from the Emunah section. I'll give from the Haggadah Shal Pesach session. Shal Korah.